Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible. We're on chapter 37 in the book of Genesis. Let's go up to speak to the Lord now. For we know He hears everything that we say and even knows everything that we think. And, of course, sees everything that we do. To bless this chapter and to bless our lives in every way. Father God, hear my voice, O Lord, and the voice of all of us as we approach your throne. We know that we're right there now. Anoint this service, anoint the words, and Lord, through all these passages, show us the way that we are to live and the way that we are not to live. We have to use these different testimonials, bad testimonials in this word, to show us what not to do, and the good testimonials, Lord, as to what we should be. We should be like Joseph and the other good people in the Bible. Lord, let every word sink deep into our hearts, our souls, our spirits, into the mind of our spirit. And Lord, let us remember that this isn't only it. We have to reprove ourselves with the word of the Lord, for this is the way of life. We know, Lord, that the more word that comes out of this church, the more that it is going to anger Satan. And we ask, Lord, that you throw blockades against him. Tear down the actual structure of Satan in this world today, Lord. Destroy Satan, the works of Satan. We ask you, rebuke him, Father, and build a wall of fire around and about us. Lord, when we are cast down, lift us up. Let all discouragement go away. Destroy the destroyer. Bind the devil, Lord. Put him in chains and fetters that he cannot move, and also his troops. Back him off, Lord. Put him back under the Red Sea and into the pits of hell, and into the fiery oven. Keep him far from us, Lord. And Lord, put it in everyone's heart to not be dismayed and not be terrified by the arrow that flies at night. For Lord, the night, it is as easy for you to see in the nighttime as it is during the day. Because nighttime is like day to you. Lord, bless us and bless this service in the name of Jesus. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go.
Chapter 37, King James Version, verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report.
Okay. He was reporting them. That's the kind of way that we're supposed to live. If you see something that is being done by people in the church, you're supposed to report them. And that's what Joseph was doing here. He was reporting some evil things that his half-brothers were doing. Anyone that is doing evil things in the church, they're like half-brothers. They're not even brothers. But let's say they are half-brothers. And the brother, the real brother, is the one that the Lord loves the most, is bringing reports on them, not to destroy them, but to win their soul. So anyone that doesn't report evil in the church is not at all like Joseph. You're like a half-brother in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, you're the same as the devil. You're the same as the wicked ones that are doing the evil things. Okay, go ahead now.
Commentary, verse 1 and 2. Joseph's dreams. So Jacob settled again in the land of Canaan, where his father had lived. This is the history of Jacob's family. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flocks with his half-brothers, the sons of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things his brothers were doing.
Yeah, now isn't Joseph a good testimony?
Yes.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do, is to report things, the evil things that your brothers and sisters are doing. If you're not, you're not of the Lord. It's just that simple. And Joseph started doing good things when he was young. And that's why the Lord was able to trust him with things, the larger things, when he got older. He didn't get discouraged or dismayed when his brothers sold him into slavery, when they threw him in a pit, when they conspired to kill him, and when they sent him into slavery, when he went into Egypt. He simply did what he was told to do and lived a godly life in front of Potiphar's wife and everyone else, because he can be trusted. Some people calling themselves Christians cannot be trusted with even a small thing, because they'll lie down for the devil at any time that he tells them to. But the Lord tells us to gird ourselves up and to keep his commandments if we intend to be in heaven. Okay, go ahead.
King James Version, verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age.
And also he was the son of his favorite wife, Rachel. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
And he made him a coat of many colors.
Okay, go ahead.
Commentary, verse 3. Now Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children, because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day he gave Joseph a special gift, a beautiful robe.
Right, now if it was a coat of many colors, what it was like a long robe with long sleeves. Amen?
Amen.
Because they're not going to wear sports jackets back then. Amen?
Amen.
Or wind blazers. Okay, wind blazers. No, they didn't wear that. They wore robes, and that's what it was. All right?
Yeah.
Okay, and it was a special robe made of many colors, a robe that royalty wears, something that might have been designed by Alamo Designs, something a little bit flashy with some pizzazz to it. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
King James Version, verse 4. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him.
Okay, keep going.
And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Commentary, verse 4 through 8. But his brothers hated Joseph because of their father's partiality. They couldn't say a kind word to him. One night, Joseph had a dream and promptly reported the details to his half-brothers, which caused them to hate him even more. Quote, Listen to this dream, he announced. Quote, We were out in the field, tying up bundles of grain, sheaves. My bundle stood up, and then your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before it! Exclamation mark. So you are going to be our king, are you? His brothers taunted, and they hated him all the more for his dream and what he had said. King James Version, verse...
A lot of theologians think that they had a right to be jealous, because you're supposed to love everybody the same way. I went through this the other night on a tape. That isn't true. You love those that are the loveliest, the ones that are the most obedient to God, the one that you love the most. You have, Jacob had a right to love whoever he wanted to love. Amen?
Amen.
The other ones were a bunch of murderers, and they are very hard and cruel, with the exception of Reuben and Judah, who tried in a feeble way to save him, and they did. But it was just the providence of God that did that. God moved on them to do it. Okay, then what else?
King James Version, verse 9. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me.
Obeisance
to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Commentary, verse 9 through 11. Then Joseph had another dream, and told his brothers about it. Quote, Listen to this dream, he said. The sun, moon, and 11 stars bowed low before me! Exclamation mark. This time he told his father as well as his half-brothers. And his father rebuked him. Quote, What do you mean? His father asked. Will your mother, your brothers, and I actually come and bow before you? But while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father gave it some thought and wondered what it all meant. King James Version, verse 12. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, Here am I. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. Commentary, verse 12 through 14. Soon after this, Joseph's brothers went to pasture their father's flocks at Shechem. When they had been gone for some time, Jacob told Joseph, quote, Your brothers are over at Shechem with the flocks. I'm going to send you to them. Quote, I'm ready to go, Joseph replied. Quote, Go and see how your brothers and the flocks are getting along, Jacob said. Then come back and bring me word. So Jacob sent him on his way, and Joseph traveled to Shechem from his home in the valley of Hebron. King James Version, verse 15. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, They are departed hence, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. Commentary, verse 15 through 17. When he arrived there, a man noticed him wandering around the countryside. Quote, What are you looking for? He asked. Quote, For my brothers and their flocks, Joseph replied. Have you seen them? Quote, Yes, the man told him, but they are no longer here. I heard your brothers say they were going to Dothan. So Joseph followed his brothers to Dothan and found them there. King James Version, verse 18. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands, to deliver him to his father again. Commentary, verse 18 through 22. Joseph sold to slavery. When Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they recognized him in the distance and made plans to kill him. Quote, Here comes that dreamer! Exclamation mark, they exclaimed. Quote, Come on, let's kill him and throw him into a deep pit. We can tell our father that a wild animal has eaten him. Then we'll see what becomes of all his dreams! Exclamation mark. But Reuben came to Joseph's rescue. Quote, Let's not kill him, he said. Quote, Why should we shed his blood? Let's just throw him alive into this pit here. That way he will die without our having to touch him. Reuben was secretly planning to help Joseph escape, and then he would bring him back to his father. King James Version, verse 23. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty, there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead, with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. Commentary, verse 23 through 25. So when Joseph arrived, they pulled off his beautiful robe and threw him into the pit. This pit was normally used to store water, but was empty at the time. Then, just as they were sitting down to eat, they noticed a caravan of camels in the distance coming toward them. It was a group of Ishmaelite traders taking spices, balm, and myrrh from Gilead to Egypt. King James Version, verse 26. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content.
Okay. Go to the commentary.
Okay. Commentary, verse 26 and 27. Judah said to the others, quote, What can we gain by killing our brother? That would just give us a guilty conscience. Quote, Let's sell Joseph to those Ishmaelite traders. Let's not be responsible for his death. After all, he is our brother! Exclamation mark. And his brothers agreed. King James Version, verse 28. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen. And they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. Commentary, verse 28. So when the traders came by, his brothers pulled Joseph out of the pit, and sold him for 20 pieces of silver, and the Ishmaelite traders took him along to Egypt.
20 pieces of silver was the going price back then. It's recorded in the book of Leviticus for a young male under the age of 20 years old. We'll have a scripture on that. Okay, then what else?
King James Version, verse 29. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, The child is not, and I, whither shall I go?
Yes, go ahead and read that in the commentary.
Okay. Commentary, verse 29 and 30. Sometime later, Reuben returned to get Joseph out of the pit. When he discovered that Joseph was missing, He tore his clothes in anguish and frustration. Then he went back to his brothers and lamented, quote, "The boy is gone!" exclamation mark. What can I do now? King James Version, verse 31. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no." And he knew it, and said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces." And Jacob rent his clothes, and put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him.
Okay. Yeah, I'll mourn for my son until the day I die. That's what he's saying. Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 31 through 35. Then Joseph's brothers killed a goat, then dipped the robe in its blood. They took the beautiful robe to their father and asked him to identify it. Quote, "We found this in the field," they told him. Quote, "It's Joseph's robe, isn't it?" Their father recognized it at once. Quote, "Yes," he said, "it's my son's robe. A wild animal has attacked and eaten him. Surely Joseph has been torn in pieces!" exclamation mark. Then Jacob tore his clothes and put on sackcloth. He mourned deeply for his son for many days. His family all tried to comfort him, but it was no use. Quote, "I will die in mourning for my son," he would say, and then begin to weep. King James Version, verse 36. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. Commentary, verse 36. Meanwhile, in Egypt, the traders sold Joseph to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Potiphar was captain of the palace guard.
Okay, that was the last verse in chapter 37, and now we'll do some commentary.
37 verse 2. This is the history of Jacob's family. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flocks and his half-brothers, with his half-brothers, the sons of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things his brothers were doing. The account of Jacob's people in Egypt had been revealed to Abraham. Genesis 15, 13 through 16. Quote, "And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full." End quote. Hence, this is part of God's sovereignty operating through Joseph's brothers. Verse 37.
Why is it the sovereignty of the Lord to have allowed his brothers to do something like that? It is because God knew that he had it all set up that this was going to happen in Egypt, that there was going to be also 7 years of famine, and first 7 years of plenty, then 7 years of famine. And it was all set up there for Joseph to go there. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
37, verse 3.
So God knows everything that's going on. Everything. Right down to the very least, what you would think is the least detail, it's all set up. It's like everything is just already set in place, and we're just people playing it out. Just like actors on a stage. The only thing is that we're all programmed, and God knows what we're going to do. He knows those that will do what he says. He knows those that absolutely will not. And so it's inevitable. God knows it all, and it's all going to happen just the way he had it planned. You say, well, then who could be deemed guilty by the Lord? No. He knows what you're going to do. Everybody has a fair chance. Amen?
Amen.
It's not up to grabs, so he knows what you're going to do with that chance. He knows you'd hear these words and all the words of the Bible, and he knows what you're going to do with them. Either throw them on the ground or just take them into your spirit and do what he says. Okay, then what?
37, verse 3. Quote, "Now Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children, because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day he gave Joseph a special gift, a beautiful robe." End quote. Now Jacob loved Joseph more, being the firstborn of Jacob's favorite wife, Rachel. Joseph became his favorite son. The description of Joseph's robe of many colors is not known, but it was most probably a robe, a long robe with sleeves, a tunic as might be worn by royalty, something like made by Alamo Designs.
Right. I believe that Jacob had that ability to make it up like our people did. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
37, verse 5. Quote, "One night Joseph had a dream and promptly reported the details to his half-brothers, which caused them to hate him even more." End quote. A dream from God confirms God's providence. It will happen. God is carrying it out through Joseph.
Right, that particular part of history. He's just carrying it out. He knew Joseph, and also he knew that Jacob would love Joseph more, and right well that he did. Amen?
Amen.
And right wrong that the other ones were jealous about it. I mean, we have a right to love whoever we want. Amen?
Amen.
Whether it's good or evil, God doesn't make robots out of us, and so we shouldn't try to make robots out of people either. Amen?
Amen.
If they love somebody, leave them be. Amen?
Amen.
And don't say it's jealousy, or don't commend anybody that's jealous, because that's wrong. Amen?
Amen.
Let them live out their life as God knew they would. Huh?
Amen.
And if they want to be loved, then let them do something that will make them be loved. Amen?
Amen.
Don't commit adultery. Don't commit fornication. Don't bring false accusations. Don't be a liar. Don't be a lesbian. Don't be a homosexual. Don't hate God. Do what the Lord says. Be busy about your Father's business. Who couldn't love somebody like that? Amen?
Amen.
Don't be a luster or somebody that wants to partake in the things of this world. If you want to be loved by somebody godly like Jacob, or if you want to be loved by somebody like Joseph, Potiphar's wife was repugnant to Joseph because he's godly. He didn't want anything to do with her. That was like a flea bag, some bag of a woman that's filled with lice. Worse than that, because it caused your soul to burn in hell forever. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
37, verse 11. Quote, "But while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father gave it some thought and wondered what it all meant." End quote.
What the dream meant, yes. They're jealous because of a dream that God gave to him? He's just telling the dream that God gave to him, and they're jealous because God gave the dream to him. He knew he couldn't trust them with being second in, to the throne in Egypt. Amen?
Amen.
They would have had sex with with Potiphar's wife. That one had sex with his own father's wife. So you know he'd have sex with Potiphar's wife. Amen?
Amen.
Well, what's the big deal? She wants to, you know, type thing, so to speak. Okay, what else?
The two attitudes here are typical reactions to news from God.
Yeah, when somebody brings you news from God, so people either hate it or they love it. Amen?
Amen.
Too bad there's such wicked people on earth that they despise the word of God. And then they wonder, why are we cursed? You dumbbells. Okay, what else?
37 verse 17. Quote, "Yes," the man told him, "but they are no longer here. I heard your brothers say they were going to Dothan." So Joseph followed his brothers to Dothan and found them there. End quote. Dothan was 15 miles north of Shechem.
It's quite a hike, you know, back then. Then what else?
37 verse 25. Quote, "Then, just as they were sitting down to eat, they noticed a caravan of camels in the distance coming toward them. It was a group of Ishmaelite traders taking spices, balm, and myrrh from Gilead to Egypt." End quote. Spices, balm, and myrrh were Palestinian products popular in Egypt for embalming, cosmetics, and medicines.
So, if all these things are made are used in cosmetics and embalming fluid, you women today, I guess, are rubbing embalming fluid all over their faces. Amen?
Amen.
And some of them put on so much it looks like the Avon lady stood too close to him and exploded. Okay, go ahead.
37:28-32. Quote, "So when the traders came by, his brothers pulled Joseph out of the pit and sold him for 20 pieces of silver, and the Ishmaelite traders took him along to Egypt. Sometime later, Reuben returned to get Joseph out of the pit. When he discovered that Joseph was missing, he tore his clothes in anguish and frustration. Then he went back to his brothers and lamented, quote, 'The boy is gone!' exclamation mark. What can I do now? Then Joseph's brothers killed a goat, then dipped the robe in its blood. They took the beautiful robe to their father and asked him to identify it. Quote, 'We found this in the field,' they told him. 'It's Joseph's robe, isn't it?'" Midianite traders. Midian and Medan were sons of Abraham by Keturah. Chapter 25, verse 1. "Then again Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bare him Zimran, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua."
So, now will you buy my rice?
Yes.
See, the Bible confirms everything. That's why it's so good to know these names, so you can see where these people were coming from. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
"Midian and Medan were sons of Abraham by Keturah, and were later perceived by Israel to be members of the same tribe as their half-brother Ishmael." Judges 8:22-24. Quote, "Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, 'Rule thou over us, both thou and thy son, and thy son's son also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian.' And Gideon said unto them, 'I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you.' And Gideon said unto them, 'I would desire a request of you, that ye would give me every man the earrings of his prey.' For they had golden earrings, because they were Ishmaelites." End quote. Their action was a type of kidnapping, which Exodus 21:16 and Deuteronomy 24:7 specify as a law punishable by death. Exodus 21:16. Quote, "And he that stealeth a man or selleth him," "and he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death." End quote.
So, they were guilty, according to the law, to be to receive the penalty of death. Amen.
Amen.
And what else?
Deuteronomy 24:7, quote, "If a man be found stealing any of his brethren of the children of Israel, and maketh merchandise of him, or selleth him, then that thief shall die, and thou shalt put evil away from among you," end quote. 37:28, quote, "So when the traders came by, his brothers pulled Joseph out of the pit and sold him for 20 pieces of silver, and the Ishmaelite traders took him along to Egypt," end quote. 20 shekels of silver was the fair price for a male slave under 20 years of age. Leviticus 27:5, quote, "And if it be from 5 years old even unto 20 years old, then thy estimation shall be of the male 20 shekels, and for the female 10 shekels.
See, I told you I was twice as good as you. Okay, never mind. Go ahead.
37:34. Quote, "Then Jacob tore his clothes and put on sackcloth. He mourned deeply for his son for many days," end quote. Sackcloth, a rough clothing of mourning made of goat's or camel's hair.
All right, praise the Lord. That was the 37th chapter of the book of Genesis. And we'll be doing chapter 38, the Lord willing, this evening. Till then, meditate on the Lord both day and night, and you'll be like trees planted by the living water. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you till then, till tomorrow, one day at a time. Remember, praise the Lord.